happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, playing with the placement of my computer screen.
And we're going to start with some good news. The United States House of Representatives passed a bill to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act and protect gay and interracial marriages, and it got 47 Republican votes. But Majority Leader Schumer has yet to commit to a vote in the Senate.
But things are evolving even as we are doing this show. We'll give you the details. And Democrats in the House also are moving to protect abortion rights.
Republicans, however, are intent on rolling back protections for transgender people if they win the Congress in November.
Yeah, that would be bad. And a Republican judge has blocked a Biden directive on fair treatment for trans students in schools.
But President Biden, taking advantage of Rand Paul's snit, is canceling his promise to appoint a right-wing federal judge.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. A delightful video, moms fighting back against Texas Governor Greg Abbott on abortion and trans rights. Can't wait to show that to you.
Among other things, an anti-LGBTQ pastor and radio host accused of sexual harassment by multiple men over 10 years.
And he's only one of three of them we're going to be talking about this week. Russia and Romania are intensifying their laws against LGBTQ people.
But a big name in Russia is coming out, and a powerful right-wing lawyer is suing to end access to PrEP under the Affordable Care Act. And he's got it right in front of a horrible judge.
Yeah. We have a monkeypox update. This is now our weekly event. More vaccines are coming, but they're still scarce. And there's a fight over prevention messages.
And I am here this week, but Ann will be with Maren Johns co-hosting next week.
Girl on girl.
So we start in the House of Representatives. This was Jerry Nadler's bill. The Respect for Marriage bill, it repeals DOMA. It explicitly permits same-sex and interracial marriages nationwide, and it says that if you are legally married anywhere, that it's legal, then you move to a state or you're in a state that doesn't recognize it, you have to be. It has to be recognized there.
And the federal government has to recognize it. That's what DOMA was all about, preventing federal recognition of same-sex marriages some years after individual states started legalizing them. The federal government said, no. And or actually, they put that in place earlier. But then finally, individual states did start legalizing same-sex marriages. And that's when Edie Windsor went to court to get rid of DOMA as a bar to the federal government recognizing them. She won the Supreme Court, got rid of DOMA, but it remains on the books of the federal government. Right. And people are afraid that if the Supreme Court follows Clarence Thomas's direction and gets rid of the Edie Windsor decision, DOMA will be back in effect. So that's why the Respect for Marriage Act is important, to get rid of DOMA off the books and institute a system where the federal government and all states must recognize legal same-sex marriages.
And, you know, this bill got 47 Republican votes. So, you know, those of you who are out there living in states with constitutional amendments against same-sex marriage that are no longer in effect for the time being, or laws against same-sex marriage, get to work and get those things overturned. You might get some Republican votes, including Liz Cheney, who you know, one of the people who said, I regret my, you know, my opposition to same-sex marriage in the past.
And she only changed her mind last year. She she was adamantly against same-sex marriage, even when her sister Mary married her wife, against it for years after that. But a year ago said, you know what, I was wrong. So now she voted for the Respect for Marriage Act, as did Elise Stefanik, the right-wing crazy from upstate New York, who's third in power in the Republican conference. Lee Zeldin, the Republican congressman running for governor of New York, voted for the Respect for Marriage Act. And so did another New York Republican, Representative Maliotakis. There was only one Republican Congress member in the state of New York who voted against it. Everybody else, and that was Claudia Tenney. Everyone else voted for it because they see the writing on the wall in the state of New York.
Maliotakis is voting in her own interests.
Well, that's my point. They are all voting in their own interest.
Well, no, I mean, she has a personal interest.
Oh, please, please. That has not convinced all closet cases to vote for.
No. Okay. Men. So now, all right, let's talk about the Senate. Senator Schumer, for the moment, is not committing to a vote and is using a lot of mushy language. But there is an acceleration of Republicans semi or totally committing to this. Lisa Murkowski says, you know, she wouldn't rule it out. Susan Collins is a sponsor of a bill or version of this bill. And then who else, Ann?
Rob Portman of Ohio, who's retiring, so he doesn't have to face an upcoming.
He has a gay son.
And he has announced his support. He is going to co-sponsor the Respect for Marriage Act in the Senate. And Tom Tillis of North Carolina, who I think has voted for some of our bills before, he has announced that he will probably vote for the Respect for Marriage Act. So I think Schumer is not, you know, rushing this to announce the vote because he doesn't want to be perceived as saying, we're going to make you vote on this so we can get you on the record. He wants to give Republicans a little breathing room to actually
Think he'll have hearings or?
No word on any of that yet.
All right. Well, but it's encouraging on one level. Of course, you know, we also have to talk about the abortion issue again, because I mean, that Roe has been overturned. So Democrats.
Before we leave this, Chris Murphy of Connecticut very affirmatively predicted that this bill will pass the Senate. The respect.
All right. Well, but Democrats in the House are moving on legislation to codify nationally Roe v. Wade and things like the right to contraception. Now, those bills, we got no Republicans committing to them yet, though Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was on board. It's funny, when I wrote this note, with all but the codifying same-sex marriage, when she was asked about all these things. So we'll see. I mean, she's up for re-election this year.
Yeah, and it's you wonder whether some of these Republicans who are getting on board with marriage rights or reproductive rights who are up for re-election are seeing that as their road to re-election.
Well, Obama came out for same-sex marriage when he was running for re-election, and it was his way of trying to, you know, pull in the left. I mean, Richard Nixon used to worry about how can I co-opt some of the moderate to liberal votes by doing this. You know, he's the one who started the EPA that the Supreme Court is dismantling. All right, but let's talk about Republicans in Congress, because they're getting behind bills now to roll back protections for transgender people, bills that they will pass if they win this fall. One would block funding to colleges that let trans women participate in women's sports. Another would allow transgender people to sue medical personnel who help them transition as minors. This is awfully cruel, but that's the point. They call gender appropriate health care child abuse in these bills, when of course it is Republicans who are torturing these kids.
none of these bills are going to pass as long as the Democrats remain in power, but this should be a huge blaring red light alarm for people about what's going to happen if they do put Republicans in power.
Yes. Don't be lulled by their support for same-sex marriage, some of them. And of course, as long as Biden is president, he can veto these bills. Now, the New York City Council passed a package of bills to protect access to abortion, forbidding city agencies from detaining people for performing or aiding abortions, for cooperating or sharing info. It bars them from cooperating with out-of-state entities related to abortion services. They're also going to provide free medications for abortions in our clinics. And the speaker, Adrian Adams, said these bills will protect women, trans, and gender nonconforming individuals, and the rights that we rightfully deserve when we are all under attack.
Well, the Republican legislature in Pennsylvania is also being protective. They have repealed the sodomy law in Pennsylvania. They've taken it out of the criminal code. And that is a Republican-controlled legislature.
Why'd they do that?
Well, they got some convincing arguments from Democrats and out-gay Democrats in the legislature. So even with a very right-wing Republican running for governor of Pennsylvania, who I'm sure would have been happy to leave this stuff in the criminal code, they have taken it out. And current Democratic Governor Wolf has signed that repeal,
you know,
that change.
We didn't get rid of our sodomy law in New York until 1980, and it was through a court case at our Court of Appeals. But back around 1960, there was sort of code reform across the United States, and they looked at these laws, and a lot of states, Iowa, places like that, just said, oh, no, this shouldn't be on the books anymore.
And I'm always surprised when they do something sensible. I'm so used to the bigotry that is the default position and the cowardice that I just am astonished when they actually think something through logically.
Well, so you won't be surprised by what a federal Trump judge did in Tennessee.
No.
He sided with 20 Republican attorneys general, blocking a Biden administration directive that allowed students to use school bathrooms and play on sports teams aligned with their gender identity, contrary to a lot of these new state laws against it. The judge rejected the administration using the Bostock decision as the basis for its directive, saying that only applies to employment discrimination. He said the Supreme Court explicitly refused to decide whether sex-segregated bathrooms, locker rooms, and dress codes violate Title VII.
Well, why? By upholding Gavin Grimm's decision without reviewing it? The Bostock decision said that Title IX's rule against sex discrimination includes sexual orientation and gender identity. And it was an employment case, so that's the rule for employment. And the federal government said, well, that's an extrapolatable principle across other areas, and this judge said no. They said employment, it's only employment. We're not going to look at the value of sex discrimination equals sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination. We're going to hold them to the letter of that. And so the Biden rule that would end discrimination against trans students violates state laws. So in these 20 states where these attorney generals are from who brought this case against the Biden rule, in these 20 states, that rule can no longer be used.
This is why families with kids who are transgender are moving out of a lot of these states if they can.
Exactly.
All right. By the way, I should have said that the U.S. House did pass a bill protecting the right to cross lines for state lines for abortion services, 222 to 205, and three Republicans voted for it. They also passed the Women's Health Protection Act, guaranteeing a right to an abortion nationwide. And,
all of these are much less likely to pass the Senate than,
correct,
surprisingly, same-sex marriage.
Well, let's give him some good news about Biden. He finally dropped that deal with Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
To appoint a right-wing anti-abortion federal judge, Kentucky lawyer Chad Meredith, it was going to be an exchange for two lousy federal prosecutors getting confirmed. Democrats were incensed by the deal, but the deal was nixed by Kentucky's other Republican senator, Rand Paul, who wouldn't give him what's called a blue slip. You can stop somebody from your own state. And under our undemocratic system of government, the home state senators has that power.
And I don't think we're sure why Rand Paul would not approve that.
He was, as you said in the headline, in a snit, because it wasn't his pick. It wasn't his pick. He and Mitch don't get along.
Evidently. And in this case, he had some power to stop Mitch's appointment. Well, let's show them what's going on with mothers in Texas, who are organized under the unfortunate name Mothers Against Greg Abbott, because if you turn that into an acronym, it's MAGA.
We're reclaiming MAGA.
Well, they have produced a minute and a half video that is just thrilling.
They say nothing changes in Texas politics until it does.
Till it does.
Till the Texas power grid failed and our families froze without water and electricity.
Until white Texas politicians removed our history from the classroom.
Till they made it legal to buy a gun without a permit and openly carry it.
Till Texas politicians put a $10,000 bounty on anyone who helped a woman get an abortion.
Till we were called child abusers for loving and supporting our transgender children.
Till Texas school boards banned books by Black and LGBTQ authors.
Till our loved ones died when Texas politicians fought mask and vaccine mandates during the worst pandemic in over 100 years.
We want real change for Texas.
Now.
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 Before history repeats itself.
And we're ready to fight.
We live in suburbs.
In big cities.
And on farms and ranches.
We are mothers.
We are mothers.
We are the Mothers Against Greg Abbott.
Let's make Texas a safe place where all families can thrive again.
We are Mothers Against Greg Abbott.
It's rather heartwarming.
It's fabulous. I wish they'd coordinated the end message a little better. It gets a little muddy. Mothers Against Greg Abbott. Okay. Thank you.
And we got a little lift from NBA. We got a little lift from NBA, National Basketball Association legend Charles Barkley. A clip of him has surfaced telling an audience, if you're gay or transgender, I love you. And if anyone gives you, he used another word, tell him Charles says F you, and he used another word. His support is not new. When the NBA's Jason Collins came out in 2013, he said, everybody's played with a gay teammate. As a Black man, I'm always inclusive.
Thank you, Charles, for your intelligent support. Okay, where next? Well, let's go through a few other political stories. In Arizona, they're having a big fight in the Republican primary. The incumbent Congress member from Arizona in this primary is David Schweikert, and he, not for the first time in his career, is running homophobic TV ads against one of his opponents, Elijah Norton. So Elijah Norton is suing him for running these ads.
Well, he says he swings both ways, and then he says, oh, I didn't mean he was bisexual. I just mean he's on the issues.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a long
obvious.
Time.
Yes, he's been running ads like this for a long time. In California, good news, Governor Newsom, you think he's going to be a real candidate for president in 2020?
He says no, but, you know.
Well, he's not going to say
says he got
yes.
Very upset at Ron DeSantis when he wouldn't let them, you know, use a mask mandate or vaccine requirement at the Special Olympics.
He's positioning himself, but he's certainly not going to challenge Joe Biden. He's waiting for some moment when Joe Biden says, I'm out of here. But anyway, he has pardoned a guy named Henry Pechnowski, an 82-year-old Holocaust survivor who in 1967 was arrested for lewd conduct when he was found having sex in a car with his boyfriend. And now, 55 years later, Gavin Newsom has pardoned him.
I think everybody who committed these kinds of quote-unquote crimes should be getting blanket pardons. Our movement should be more insistent about that. In New York, well, in the 10th Congressional District, which is Lower Manhattan, where the Stonewall is, and parts of Brooklyn, Mayor de Blasio, you might have read, has dropped out. Council member Carlina Rivera, who's one of the leading candidates, was talking to a Jewish paper, and she said, oh, I'm open to private businesses getting religious exemptions if their biblical values work against this. And then her staff got over, no, you're not for that. And she said, I'm not for that. And then, but the same thing happened with Dan Goldman. Dan Goldman is also running. He was one of the prosecutors in the impeachment trial. And he sort of said, I'm open to, cutting off abortion at this point. And then his staff was
post viability.
Yeah. I mean, these people, well, Carlina is a city council member. I mean, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, we'll update you when they have that primary August 23rd.
More strange political news from Rhode Island, where a sitting state senator who's an out lesbian is running for re-election, Tiara Mack, and she decided to do a little self-promotional TikTok video. There she is on the beach in her bikini.
And she stood on her head and twerked, and this went viral. And she got a lot of criticism that was racist and misogynistic. But then she shot back. She said, she's furry. She's terrific. I will not apologize for being who I am, nor for leading my community in a new and fresh voice. I will not apologize for having enough cake to twerk.
She made a very... overt statement about I'm different. I'm campaigning from a youthful perspective. This is a whole new way of communicating with people. I don't do it the old way. I do it the new young way. I have to say, I wasn't crazy about the video.
She said she was playing around and they put it on TikTok. And she says, she says she's not going to apologize.
Suspended her
for a couple of days.
Yeah.
They put her back. But she says she was attacked, and she was attacked by Tucker Carlson of the GOP, because she has proposed a bill requiring Rhode Island schools to provide sex ed that is, quote, affirmatively recognizes pleasure-based sexual relations, different sexual orientations, and be inclusive of same-sex relationships.
Look, I'm all for what I've read about her positions and her work. I'd like to see her focus on that a little more than twerking upside down.
Well, I'll send her video where she defends herself because it was from TMZ. We can't put it on here. But she's, I was impressed with her. In Illinois, there's a Catholic hospital system there, OSF Care. 24,000 employees that serve Michigan and Illinois, but they will only cover fertility treatments for employees if they are in opposite sex marriages. They operate 15 hospitals, 132 facilities. They're owned by the Sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis, who himself was much more compassionate to animals than they are to gay people.
Well, this has been an evolving system over the years of Catholic hospitals taking over the hospital systems in cities around the country. And the result has been a diminution of services that are seen by these Catholic administrators as inappropriate. And the cities should not be funding these hospitals this way. Or the federal government funding them either.
Let's go to another politician in Oklahoma. Out-gay mayor of a town called The Village, Adam Graham, he resigned, citing harassment and fears for his safety. He says, in the last month, I've been followed home from meetings, threatened while walking my dog, harassed at Starbucks, and had my tire slashed. And it apparently stems from a neighboring town's police force coming into his town and arresting someone for speeding. And he was there, and he got involved, and he said, "You're not supposed to do this in my town. Get out of here." The police said they screwed up the arrest and put their safety at risk. But he won't apologize, but he did resign.
He's been on the city council for 5 years. He got elected mayor just 2.5 months ago. But he says it's much too unsafe. I feel in danger by these threats. And so I'm out of here.
All right. In the District of Columbia, in Washington, D.C., the LGBTQ shelter Casa Ruby is entirely shut down. They didn't get their grant renewed. They're not paying their staff. A lot of mismanagement. The boss left town. But it's very, very sad. They served immigrant communities and a lot of trans people there, and it's gone.
They were a unique organization in the clientele they served, and it's really too bad they couldn't make it work. Okay. Now, I think one of the most threatening things happening is this lawyer in Texas, Jonathan Mitchell, who was one of the prime authors of the anti-abortion law in Texas that does allow vigilantes to turn in anyone involved with facilitating an abortion. Well, he's now found a new crusade. He has filed a lawsuit saying that he's challenging the Affordable Care Act coverage of PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, the use of Truvada as a daily pill to prevent HIV infection. And he says this forcing insurance companies to cover PrEP violates their religious freedom because it encourages them to endorse and facilitate homosexual behavior, prostitution, sexual promiscuity, and the use of IV drugs. And he's got this lawsuit before the judge in Texas, the federal judge, Reed O'Connor, who is notorious for issuing outrageous decisions that have blocked all sorts of decent stuff.
And issues national injunctions.
Yeah. Federally blocks.
Right. I mean, that blocks it for everyone, not just in his district.
So we are expecting a bad decision. We are expecting a bad decision from Reed O'Connor, which is going to seriously interfere with insurance coverage of PrEP unless we can straighten that out.
We're going to have to keep appealing it all the way to the high court, but we don't get a lot of support there, do we?
No.
Okay. Had that under AIDS news, so let me move that.
All right. In smaller but also important, in Montana, the Library Commission, running scared, has rejected a proposed logo for the library system because it's been labeled too gay. It looks like a rainbow flag.
It's a hexagon, mostly blue, with some radiating triangles of red, yellow, and green. But you can't be too careful about colors or triangles when you're fighting the lavender menace. One commissioner said a rainbow can set off a firestorm. She was also worried that the Republican legislature would cut their funding. She suggested making the colors gray and black. The vote was 4-3.
That'll be very inviting. Come to our black and gray library system. Bad. All right. Well, let's talk about some bad activity by various pastors, Christian ministers.
All right.
In Baytown, Texas, Pastor Dr. Lawrence Clay Hopkins has been arrested for solicitation of boys online. He is a Baptist minister, 55 years old. He was caught in a sting operation. The cops were trolling for pedophiles, and the pastor took the bait and tried to connect with young boys who, of course, turned out to be police officers. So
he's a groomer and an abuser. And then Jesse Lee Peterson, a virulently anti-LGBTQ pastor and right-wing radio host, he's accused by several men of sexual advances. One says, we had a 10-year relationship. The charges were presented in a video by a right-wing Catholic group, Church Militant, with whom Peterson has been feuding. He will not address the allegations. He claims LGBTQ people are not mentally capable of raising children and that we are violent towards each other. He's a black man, but he condemns diversity and inclusion as a cancer on American culture.
And he says being gay is the spirit of the devil. This from a guy who has evidently been having relationships with men for quite a few years. Pastor John Thomas Martin has pleaded guilty to sexually abusing boys. He has now been sentenced to 10 years in prison. And he's another one who preaches anti-LGBT hatred from the pulpit while conducting himself this way.
And then there's not a pastor, but Ricky Martin, who is definitely pleading innocent. He's accused of incest and domestic violence by his 21-year-old nephew, although maybe not a blood relative, I'm hearing. Charges he calls completely false, but he will appear in court on July 21st to defend himself. In Puerto Rico, incest can carry a 50-year sentence. His lawyer says these charges are disgusting. This guy is mentally unstable, and a woman will testify at trial that the nephew harassed her and threatened to end her life. Martin is married to Juan Josef, and they have four kids.
And sad news out of Chicago, where trans woman Martatia Richmond, 30 years old, has been found dead with multiple stab wounds. This is thought to be perhaps a domestic dispute. They're searching for her partner. She's described by her friends as loyal, generous, bold, determined, and defiant. Clearly a huge loss to the community. Just one more on this list of murdered trans, particularly black trans women.
And then we have a story out of Brooklyn. In Prospect Park, two guys apparently get together and have a little sexual encounter, and one stabs the other to death. And the guy who died was a gay cruising area. The alleged assailant acknowledged it, but said it was in self-defense. And now the DA, Eric Gonzalez, is buying that for now, unless there's evidence to the contrary. The victim was Miguel Andrews, 37. Unclear. Well, again, he says it was self-defense.
Well, and in fact, the guy who stabbed him says that he was the victim of sexual assault. So I'm not sure there was actually any sex. There are several versions of this story. He called the cops after he stabbed the guy and led them to the body and claimed that he was acting in self-defense after
the story is referred to this area in the park as the Vale of Kashmir, which sounds a little homophobic to me.
Yes, because they spell it Kashmir, C-A-S-H-M-E-R-E, instead of K-A-S-H-M-I-R.
Right. But it's, you know, I think it's about sweaters gay men used to wear.
And then a story from New Jersey that seems to have many angles. A trans woman in prison in New Jersey, 29 years old, was moved out of the women's prison to a youthful offender facility because she had had consensual sex with two women in the prison and impregnated them. And when the guards figured this out, they beat the living daylights out of her. And they are the ones who regularly abuse prisoners. So to take a trans woman who's having consensual sex with other prisoners and treat her like this and move her because you don't want this happening, and to abuse her so violently in the process, makes
well,
me
this was all under an most of course most trans prisoners are put in with their birth sex in terms of prisons. ACLU got a big settlement in New Jersey to authorize this. I haven't heard from them about this case.
But it raises the questions of how you do mix and match people in all sorts of settings, depending on what you want the outcome.
Now, I have a question of why we in New York have been asleep at the wheel. You know, we read this week that our chief judge at the Court of Appeals, the High Court, Janet DeFiore, is stepping down amidst a whiff of scandal. But apparently this whole court was appointed by the corrupt Governor Andrew Cuomo, and it had a 4-3 fairly conservative majority, and they issued a lot of decisions against workers' rights, bad on criminal justice, tenants' rights, and they also allowed our state to be gerrymandered by Republicans, these judges. So with this judge leaving, our state senator, Brad Holman, who heads the Judiciary Committee, says, we want someone liberal. For God's sakes, let's redo it. Kathy Hochul has to make that decision. She hasn't made it yet.
I am mildly hopeful because I think she wants to retain some, progressive support in her run for
Also wants to pay off all her donors in the real estate industry and things. So, but we are hopeful that we could have in New York a liberal majority on our high court.
That would be nice.
In New York, they wouldn't even approve same-sex marriage at the high court years ago.
Oh, that's right. And we had that fight with the chief judge. Right. Yelled at him at some panel discussion. In Camden, Ohio, trans man Noah Ruiz, 29 years old, went to a campground, that he had been visiting, for years with his family, asked the campground owner, as a trans man, which bathroom he should use. And the campground owner said, use the women's room. And so he did. And the women freaked out because he's a man and proceeded to beat him. He was attacked by a mob of 40 people. And then he was arrested and charged for what?
At Broadway theaters where the lines are always longer for the women, women are invited in to use the men's room at intermission. When you gotta go, you gotta go. What's the big deal? All right. We told you that big story out of Idaho in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Where these 31 Patriot Front guys were going to bust up a pride parade, and somebody tipped the cops off and they arrested them, 31 of them. And six were charged this week with a misdemeanor that carries a maximum of a fine and up to 5 years in prison. They pled not guilty to conspiracy to riot, but they'd come armed with a smoke bomb, riot gear, and a detailed plan on how to disrupt. The rest are going to appear in court throughout August.
But some of them were then arrested in Washington State in Olympia for having defaced an LGBT mural in 2021. They made a video about it, and they got arrested for that.
They're very proud of their work.
The cops saw their video. Now, they also were talking among themselves, bragging about how they were the ones who had defaced a George Floyd statue in New York before that. And there's new news about how the Proud Boys are running rampant all over Long Island, very overtly showing up in various places and attacking
Long people. Island, home of the KKK. I mean, in the 1920s, 20% of the population of Suffolk County, which is the East End, were members of the KKK. Oh, they got a rich history of right-wing stuff there.
And all right, it's going on.
Okay.
So, University of Pennsylvania has nominated Leah Thomas in an NCAA contest for Woman of the Year. I think that was nice of them to do that. We'll see whether they get anywhere with that.
I want to note the passing of an activist I was not familiar with, Gil Kessler of New York. He's the former president of gay male S&M activists. He died at 85 on June 5th, we learned, from Parkinson's and Lewy's body dementia. He taught math in the New York City schools and was a volunteer for 25 years. He taught a comprehensive course for bondage and S&M novices, the mechanics of kinky play and the art of interpersonal dynamics. He trained over 400 people over the years. He was a member of the Eulenspiegel Society and an honorary board member of the Leather Archives and Museum in Chicago. GMSMA met at the center, our center, from the early 1980s until it disbanded in 2009.
He leaves his partner, Damani Moizal, but he also was a very active member for decades of the LGBTQ Times Square dancers.
Yeah.
People have varied lives.
People still have fun.
All right, international news.
Well, start you with a nice little story. In the United Kingdom, Olympic diver Tom Daley received an honor from Prince Charles at Windsor Castle, an Order of the British Empire. What a name, the OBE, for services to diving and for his extensive charitable work. Daley, 28, was accompanied by his husband there, screenwriter Dustin Lance Black. He dove in his first Olympics in 2008 at 14, won gold in 2020. Has become an outspoken gay activist. He and Black are raising a son, Robbie. And as for diving, he says his body is getting better, but he'll keep going till the body gives up.
And in political news from the UK, the Conservatives vying for prime minister are getting tangled up in trans rights issues.
Yeah, I mean, they ask this question a lot, you know, what is a woman? It's the same kind of stuff going on here. So we have a picture of Penny Mordaunt, who was one of them. She was pro-LGBT. She marched in pride parades. She was minister for women and equalities, and she has a gay twin brother. She once declared in the Commons, trans men are men and trans women are women. Now she's flip-flopping and opposing trans orthodoxy and trans women in sports, saying biology is overwhelmingly important. And her rivals are trying to, you know, catch her on that. But I'm not sure by the time you see this if she'll still be in the race. It was down to three today.
She's the Elise Stefanik of Great Britain.
Ambition.
Yeah. The government of Iraq and the parliament are planning full criminalization of homosexuality. Thank you.
In Russia, Brittany Griner, you know, we told you she pled guilty to drug smuggling, but her trial continues for some reason. The director of her team in Russia and the team captain testified about her good character and to strengthening the team spirit. It's supposed to conclude at the beginning of August. She faces 10 years in a Russian prison.
Well, Biden's administration today, as we tape on Wednesday, declared the imprisonment of Americans abroad as a national emergency, and this is supposed to continue to ratchet up the pressure on Russia to release Brittany Griner and other political prisoners. We'll see whether that gets them anywhere.
So Russia is also looking at expanding its 2013 gay propaganda law, ostensibly to protect children from non-traditional sexualities. And it, of course, it's been used to shut down all public LGBTQ events, pride parades, demonstrations, film festivals. Now Putin's lawmakers propose fining any event deemed to promote homosexuality to adults, including in the media, on the internet, social networks, and online cinema. The Speaker of the Duma says, you know, they're free to do what they want, but not talk about it, basically.
Vladimir Putin, the Ron DeSantis of Russia. Nonetheless, their top-ranked female tennis player, Daria Kazatkina, 25 years old, has just come out. She reached the semis at the French Open. She's living and training in Spain, which is one reason she's able to say this without imprisonment, but it may preclude her going back to Russia. She says living in peace with yourself is the only thing that matters, and she wants to provide a role model for young people struggling with these issues, especially in her home country where they're not allowed to hear anything about it anymore. She has a girlfriend who's also Russian, a silver medal Olympic figure skater, Natalia Zalisko. On the left, Daria's on the right there. And Daria also made an anti-war statement. She said the war in Ukraine must end.
Right. Okay. Then over in Bucharest, Romania, 15,000 people marched for LGBTQ rights as the lower chamber of the parliament is preparing to vote on a bill that would ban, like in Russia, discussion of homosexuality and gender identity in public spaces, similar to Hungary and Russia. It passed the Senate in April. The European Parliament's LGBTQI intergroup urged striking it down, calling it another attempt to galvanize hatred in Romania.
Not only has this passed the Senate, but the Human Rights Commission of Romania has approved this anti-LGBTQ bill, this Don't Say Gay bill. They passed this version of this bill earlier, and it was ruled unconstitutional by the courts in Romania. So they're just trying again, and we'll see whether
Romania, my only chance for an EU passport. Grandma and Grandpa from a town that's...
Well, maybe you'll have to go there and be an activist against
it. Well, you know, people in the red states are saying, hey, move down here and help us out, you know, and whatever.
Won't hold your breath.
It's too hot. Australia.
The European Commission is suing Hungary for its anti-LGBTQ laws, taking it to the Court of Justice of the European Union.
This is, yes, definitely a shot over the bow to Romania. Australia, 11 private schools challenged over their enrollment forms that demand prospective families support beliefs denouncing homosexuality and diverse gender identity. Schools are part of Christian community ministries serving 6,000 students. But complaints are coming in from former students and parents saying, you know, you shouldn't. And then the school says, oh, you don't have to share our beliefs. Well, you know, just sign our statement.
Yeah.
They just have to acknowledge this is what we teach.
In Peru, they're supposed to host a meeting of the Organization of American States, the foreign ministers of all these countries. But the OAS said, and by the way, we'd like you to make sure there are some gender-neutral bathrooms, which are just single-stall regular bathrooms that anyone can access. And the Congress of Peru got its back up and said, how dare you ask for that? This is going to lead to, you know, the end of civilization. So now there's some question about whether there will be this meeting of the OAS in Peru because Congress there is blocking it.
Better news from Greece. The Greek Orthodox Church held its first baptism. We got a picture for children of a gay couple, Evangelos Boussis and Peter Dourdas, who are both big in the fashion world. They had their kids, Alexios and Elena, baptized by Archbishop L.P. Duffaris of America in a church in an Athenian suburb. Have you got
well, this
that?
This is the twist. This is an American Greek Orthodox, what do we call them, Archbishop. And so he performs this baptism in Greece. But in fact, the Greek Orthodox Church in Greece is upset about this and considers him an interloper for doing this. So
they can't look at that picture and see how everybody is happy,
how everybody is rich.
Well, it helps.
Well, it did in this case. And in Ukraine, a petition has been submitted, signed by 28,000 people, to President Zelensky asking that same-sex marriage be legalized in Ukraine. He is required to respond because of the number of signatures. This has started because people realize that gay soldiers in the Ukraine military had no ability to give benefits to their surviving partners when they're killed in the Russian war.
In France, 100 public figures have called for the resignation of Cabinet Minister Caroline Cayoux after she reaffirmed her anti-LGBT views, opposing same-sex marriage and adoption. In 2013, she described same-sex couples as against nature as France prepared to vote on legalizing marriage equality. She says, "I have a lot of friends among all those people, and I'm being targeted now, and it's unfair. It upsets me. How do you think we feel?" So with all this backlash, she tweeted that her remarks were inappropriate, and she's resisting stepping down.
She wants to keep her job. She's manipulating her story. I continue to be amazed by people who say that homosexuality is against nature when it's been observed in every species of animal, mammal.
They just don't like it. That's all it is.
They're ignorant. All right. Moving on.
AIDS? No, not international. No.
Okay. Tony Fauci, 81 years old, says that he'll probably step aside by the end of the Biden administration.
By the way, it reminds us COVID isn't going anywhere.
Yes. But he's confident that there will be people around to take care of HIV, and COVID will do whatever COVID
does. He says if the GOP takes over the House, I'm still going to be here for a bit, you know, and of course they'll want to go after him, but he can take it. He's a tough guy. Brooklyn.
Yeah. Small.
All right, monkeypox. You know, look, gay and bisexual men are desperate for vaccines, not enough are coming in. Sex clubs are starting to take, you know, action, and they're temporarily shutting down, like the New York Jacks, which has been around forever. In the absence of another vaccine, only modification of behavior is going to stop this. And again, you can get this by rubbing up against somebody, skin-to-skin contact, kissing. They talk about droplets, but, I mean, you know, sharing a bed clothes with someone, bedding with someone who has it. It can be spread through, even if you're not symptomatic, you can spread it. So it's a tough disease to avoid if there's a lot of it around, but it's almost entirely affecting men who have sex with men.
Andy Cohen announced he's going celibate for the moment until monkeypox disappears.
Or until you get your vaccine, you know, where you're going to have a high level of protection. And that's the issue. And look, I know somebody who flew in from Europe, an American who was over there, who said, couldn't get a vaccine over there. I mean, checked out a whole bunch of cities and came over here just to get the vaccine. This is not a person of means.
Well, he's lucky if he got it here, because there are plenty of people who can't get it here.
Right. You got to get online when they announce the vaccines, and they are bringing more in. Next week in New York, for instance, going to have 32,785 doses, but we're up to, you know, we were up to 651 cases just in the city.
The city's changing its protocol too. The original plan was everybody would get two doses within 4 weeks of each other, but now they've decided they will just give one dose to everybody in hopes that will immunize people, because they just don't have enough doses yet.
And there is a big dispute in the health department. We're one of the director of surveillance for the Bureau of Communicable Disease says we're not leveling with people about how this is spread. And we're afraid to stigmatize gay people, but we're not telling them how to be safe. And that's what we have to do. And on this show, we will do that.
And not being explicit about the fact that 95%
are men, 0% women in New York. 4% TG, you know, transgender, gender nonconforming or non-binary, and others unknown. 60% identify as LGBTQ plus, 2% is straight, but 34% didn't tell them. Hispanics, 20% of the cases, blacks, 11%, whites, 30%. For once, it is not disproportionately affecting people of color.
Yet. And also, this is not to say that everybody is not vulnerable. We're talking about where the virus is at the moment and who is most vulnerable at the moment.
You know, and I get that radically altering sexual behavior is hard. I kind of resent it when Charles King of Housing Works says gay men can't. Of course they can, and they are. And they're desperate for the vaccines. They line up as soon as they're available.
Yeah. All right. In entertainment news, the New York Asian Film Festival is on at Lincoln Center. There are lots of LGBTQ films there. And there's going to be a panel on queer Asian cinema. It's a whole Asian film festival, but there's a lot of LGBTQ content.
Director M. Night Shyamalan has a...
Shyamalan,
thank you, has a horror flick in the works, Knock at the Cabin, based on Paul Tremblay's novel, The Cabin at the End of the World. Out stars Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge are set to play a gay couple in it. It sounds tremendously creepy. It's due in February.
Hate those films. Ptosis, The Other Side of Silence, the long-running theater company, has a new play, House of Chavez. It's about a father-son relationship and argument when the son appears in drag on a reality TV show. The dad is very rejecting. But it's described as a unique and contemporary view, funny and moving, all about toxic masculinity. AVP, the Anti-Violence Project, is partnering with this production, and it's on through August 6th at the Flea Theater down in Tribeca on 20 Thomas Street, which is a nice theater. I've been down there to see their productions. House of Chavez at Ptosis.
Everything is about toxic masculinity today. We even have a
party.
Have a party in the United States that is dedicated to toxic masculinity.
I was happy to read the obituaries of artist Klaus Oldenburg, whose work I really admire, and read about the extent to which his work was about toxic masculinity. Billy Porter's new movie that he directed, Anything's Possible, is beginning to air on Amazon Prime this Friday. Trans teen romance set in Pittsburgh, described by The Hollywood Reporter as sweet and blazing. Anything's possible.
All right. I'm headed out, and you're going to be here with Maren Johns next week.
I am. I'm looking forward to that. Have I ever co-hosted with Maren? I can't remember.
I don't think so. I've been the lucky one there.
Go ahead.
Tell them about our special.
Well, two weeks from now, we have a special show for you. We taped a panel discussion with a lot of veteran activists, so that's going to be the hour. And then I'm going to be away, and Andy will be co-hosting with Chris Cooper.
So that's the lineup for this month. Thanks for being with us. We're down to our last 20 seconds. We really appreciate your tuning in. Hope you can absorb all that and do something about it.
Watch again and take notes. All right. Bye, Andy. See you.
Bye, Anne. Nice to see you.
Okay. And nice to see all of you.